McGraw and I go back, I guess, to the beginning of my ministry here in this district some 35 or so years ago. He and his wife, Jackie, are with us this morning. I invite them to greet us.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much. We're certainly honored to be here. And we just, like Lanny said, we've been long-term friends. Our mutual acquaintance that joined us together was Jack Kane. Mm-hmm. And I was associate pastor there under Jack. And Lanny and Jack were great friends, and they served so well together. And I've just been impressed by your pastor. I know you're impressed by your pastor as well, aren't you? And so when I planted my church in 1994, shortly after that, I had a staff that had built up, and I started meeting. I talked to Lanny and said, "Lanny, can you come and just meet with us?" And we would, and he would go out of his way, drive long distances, wouldn't take any pay. You are blessed to have a pastor that serves not for money, not for riches, but because he loves God, loves God's people, and wants to see them change. And so he poured into us. He poured into us so much. And so I am so grateful for our friendship. It's been a blessing to be a part of his life. And we're so grateful to be here. I would be remiss not to let my wife of 49 years speak, okay? I got to let her at least greet you. But we certainly do greet you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're pastoring no longer full time. We stepped back from pastoring to step into a position that I've longed to do, and that is pastor to pastors. And as an executive presbyter of the Assemblies of God here in the Potomac Network, we are now ministering to pastors. And so I'm not here to check you out or Lanny out. I'm just here to support and be in your corner and let you know that we are in your corner and just love your staff. We've met some of them already, and we've had a great time. So we thank God, and we ask that you just continue to pray for us in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. Jackie?
He always blesses me by letting me speak, you know, so. It's an honor to be here, and we retired at the end of June. And we were just saying last night, we've been visiting different churches in the Potomac Network, and we haven't had communion in 3 months. And so I praise God. You know, and I went online the other night and ordered a communion kit from CBD. That's how I said, we got to start giving ourselves communion. So Lord blessed, and we came here today, and we got communion. Praise the Lord. Amen. But it is great to be here. And I tell you, I love praise and worship, and it doesn't matter what denomination, as long as it's uplifting the name of Jesus. And so I'm full today just because of the worship and being here among God's people and just seeing the joy of the Lord in this place and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ here. And so keep us in your prayers as we make this transition in our lives from, he said, before we retired, he would say, I'm not retiring, I'm refiring. And I said, no, I'm not refiring, I'm retiring. But I've slowly drifted over to this fact that when you have something in you, when the Lord has placed a lot within you, you can't never sit down on that. So we thank God for open doors and how he's going to use us in this new season of our lives. And again, God bless you, and we're glad to be here.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Bob. Us old war dogs don't know the first thing at all about retiring. I got a war puppy, though. Alexa, come join me. As most of you know, she and I just got back from Cuba, and I'm telling you, we had ourselves a rough trip.
I like that side better.
All right, yes, dear. I learned to say that the whole trip. I practiced it for 47 years, and I get to use it all over the place. But she and I took off eventually. Because how many of you believe in signs? Believe in signs? Okay. We got to Baltimore in plenty of time for our flight because it was delayed twice before we could get to Florida to overnight so we could be up at 4 a.m. the next morning to catch another flight. And then when we got to Panama City to make the transition into Havana, they weren't going to let us on the plane. You're up.
Where do you want me to take off from there?
Well,
we never did take off. I think the two pictures, and I should have brought props today, the two pictures for the trip in the physical sense would have been a broken clock, because things never happen when they were supposed to, and the sardine can.
Sardine can, yeah. That was our transportation.
Well, it was the most physically challenging trip thus far for me. And we had delay upon delay, and it was just not expected to have the delay upon delay. But now I understand why, being, you know, Cuban-born and raised by Cubans, now I understand why, and right over there, off could mean anything. It's the answer to anything, right? How long does it take to get to wherever? Off. So that off, that little thing, I understand it. And the other one was, everything is just right over there. Doesn't matter if it's 2 hours away, it's right over there, or next door, it's right over there. So we had a lot of an interesting challenge regarding that. The Lord is who the Lord is. I mean, he's always going to prepare you, even though you're not being prepared. The week before I left, I came across a situation where, you know, I had to check myself and say, okay, God, I understand this has to cost. But I didn't realize that the Lord was giving me a hint that this trip was going to cost me. When we got there, the next day, Kenya was praying, and she had brought the word at Pedro's church. She had brought a word of encouragement, or not, because the scripture was, it's going to cost you. If you're going to do something for God, let it cost you. And it was like, she was laying into this, let it cost you, it's going to cost you. And I was like, oh, okay. That's why that happened the week before I got here. I figured I had already paid the price the week before I got there. Negative. But we had an incredible time, and Kenya had had a dream that we were ministering at a church and that people were falling in the spirit, that the Lord, the presence of the Lord was just so heavy prophetically, and that people were just falling in the spirit. So she kept telling me, I know that this is why we're struggling. It's to that day. Well, that day came. And although it was tiring after that, it wasn't as tiring. So I have to agree with her that the Lord just had a blessing, and the enemy was just trying to do everything that he could to discourage us from that.
Now, as I remember, that day came many days after we started.
Yeah, almost at the end of the crazy trip.
So we preach almost a fresca because Pedro's place is still open air. They're trying to reconstruct the church and makes the house upstairs. So I'm looking at the sky in worship, thanking God the rain was last week. But the next morning, we show up at the airport. We arrive at the airport at 7:30 a.m. to find out we can't even start checking in until 8. So we finally get checked in after they pull the bags. They pulled her back twice to go through her luggage.
This is the flight from Havana to the other airport in the east so that the drive wouldn't be so grueling,
mm-hmm,
and we could make it there quicker.
Mm-hmm. So our 10:55 a.m. flight finally departed shortly after 9 p.m. that night. Now, I don't know if you guys have ever been in one of these eateries where they don't want you to stay long, so they buy the most uncomfortable furniture on the planet. All the Cuban airports purchase from the same furniture distributor. And
flats.
So we were just beat up before we ever got on out of town. And so we finally get to Holguín, which is about three-quarters away across the country to the east. And we're dumped out unceremoniously to nobody we know. A taxi cab driver says he thinks he knows a place where we can spend the night. So we get dumped into these two rental rooms, two locations. Fortunately, the rental rooms are generally air-conditioned because August and September and July, you don't want to be in Cuba,
okay?
Unless you like glistening from every pore that you have. So we get up the next morning, have breakfast, and decide to walk over to get a rental car. It was about a 5-block walk, no rental car. Cross the compound, no rental car. We go back to the rental house. The owner says, let me see what I can do. So this, like, 56 or 57 Chevy.
We need the pictures.
Yeah, why? Oh, we have pictures of this?
Well, part of them.
Hold it on. Was an air-conditioned antique.
Wait. Yay! Well, hopefully we'll...
Well, they'll catch up. So he hauls us about 2 hours where he's made reservations to rendezvous with somebody else who has an open-air Jeep. And all the luggage in the back, and me, and Pedro, and Kenya, and the luggage. And he takes us through impassable roads. You just have no idea. Don't complain about a road in this country. I don't care what it looks like, okay? So by the time we get up to the mountain...
Jeep, remember, we had another Jeep.
Yeah.
Second Jeep.
Because this driver... Oh, yeah. And I got news for you. There ain't no clearance. Okay, so when you hear him gearing down for the potholes, duck. After about the third day, they were calling me Pastor Knothead because if I could hit it, you know, Lake says I'm traveled with the invalid, the cripple, and the tall guy. Kenny was sick, and Pedro has a bad leg.
Hold on. Can you go back to the beginning, I guess, just real quick, because we'll just go through them, if you don't mind.
No,
we'll
no.
Show what we say. And, of course, Pastor Pedro and his wife, they send their love, and this is their place, still in process, but he's got worship going and no longer has to dry the piano off so much.
That's right. When the rain comes, it's now solid unfinished floor above him.
So we've got a few pictures of his church, just different areas where Lanny was saying, like, almost al fresco. There's where we're sitting for the service. You can see that. That's another part of the ceiling wall. Just a few pictures of the construction.
Now, this is their home?
You know, this is the, yeah.
Their church?
The church home slash
their future
everything.
You, office space.
You wanted that picture, so. That was during the worship the Sunday that we were, the first Sunday we were there.
Now, part of the reason for showing you some of this is because some of you keep saying, I want to go with you. I'm giving you the opportunity to back out.
Oh, God. His grace, Lord. This gentleman, it was just a blessing. That song that says, if I don't have hands, I don't remember it in English anymore, but it's a song that says, I'm going to worship you if I can't worship you with my hands and my feet. I mean, this man is an invalid and just worshiped the Lord so sweetly, just amazing. There's that car that we got with the air conditioning. Isn't that beautiful? Mm. Okay, and there's the air conditioning. The guy ran a tube under the front seat to the back seat. And let me tell you, I never wanted to sit in the middle so much. We kind of hovered our feet over it. That is school children walking to school.
Every age group.
Oh, there's Jeep 1.
Yeah, that's Jeep 1. They go smaller from here. But all the schools, elementary, middle, and high school, they all wear uniforms. Different colors, so you know what grade... what school they're in.
Selfies, the yay.
Now, the guy in the red hat back there is going to be our new driver. And in Cuba, if you spot someone you know, or they wave at you, you stop and talk.
Oh, my God. Jesus, help us.
And after a long... when we finally got to where we were going, it looked like we all had good tans because we were covered in road dust. I mean...
Should I apologize now for yelling at you when we got to Pablo's house? Oh, my God. Yes.
That last picture had a picture of Kenya. A lot of people might not
know. Oh, sure. I'm sorry. I didn't know that. I kept going. Go. Yeah. Kenya, there.
This little girl to my right is the one we have been supporting for years. Her husband was the one who betrayed us about 4 years ago, and we've done an awful lot to give her an upgraded life since he kicked her to the curb. I probably shouldn't have taken communion, but I'll work on that later. So this is spacious, okay? Now, this is typical of the roads we're going to be running for the next 2 or 3 hours, and they get worse from there. And along the way, this driver pulls up alongside another driver, and they stop and talk. And this other driver has a much smaller Jeep, but he negotiates to transfer us to this guy when we get to the little town. How thoughtful. But you have to admit, it's a pretty view if you can see it.
Oh, my God. We did discover that in this part of the country, there are granite and, I mean, there are marble
quarries.
Quarries, okay. There's also chocolate that gets grown here. We know about the coffee. I didn't know about the chocolate, but that was interesting.
But when you pass the factory.
So this is just some of the scenery on the way that was acceptable. So much of it was so blurry that I cut most of them out. Oh, there. Hold that one for a moment.
Hold that one right there. When we get to this little village, the new driver knows the rental car owner. And so we stop by his house. He says, nope, no rental cars. We're going from town to town looking for a rental car. Can't get any. So he says, come at 10:30 tomorrow morning. So he takes us on to the top of the hill. Do you have a picture of the broken bridge? Okay, the bridge is in pieces. So he stops there. We unload it. Here comes the horse and cart. You can put a little bit of luggage and two people next to the driver. So Alexia and Kenny and the driver, watching her around animals is such a thrilling experience.
Well, they told me I had to go in horse. I'm like, I'm not going on a horse. I've never even touched a horse. I will never get near a horse. It's like, uh-uh. But I was happy when I saw the cart behind it until actually I sat in the cart and getting on the cart.
Yes. Suspension systems are apparently modern invention. And this is the past. So we go way to the top of this hill where Pastor Shelley and his family live in this shack. But up on the hill above them, they're building a magnificent church with a beautiful view, lots of foreign help, but it's going to be a glorious thing in that context. And people will walk from several miles and several hills over to come and worship with these folks. They are so humble. I mean, they're still hauling water up from the river.
This is the building there.
You know, that's the inside of the church?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, what views. Oh, my, look at that. Oh, my God. That is a beautiful view. When you're standing there, you see all that greenery on the outside. Mm-hmm. It's just gorgeous.
Mm-hmm. There's an outhouse. For those of you who can remember those days.
No, I don't know. It's a wooden box. I have, the one thing I learned personally in this trip is that God loves me. He loves me. I literally had to hunker down and just pray, Jesus, please don't let me have to use any kind of facility that is like not, that I can't deal with. I prayed. Oh my God, I prayed. I wept. And God was good. I wept, people. You have no idea. I mean, I didn't care if the toilet didn't have a seat. I just wanted that ceramic thing, you know? So I cried, please, God, don't make me go any place that I can't deal with. And I only had to deal with that one time, and it was really quick, and I was like, what the hell is in there? So, I wish I were a guy because I could have aimed at a distance. And how to do this and be graceful so that the people don't think, you know, like you're an idiot, because I knew that I was being an idiot, but I was like, how fast can I do this? And jumped out of that thing. Holy Jesus, help me.
This is Pastor Shelley moving along. He oversees about 18 to 25 churches. I'm unclear on the number. And for the last 19 years, he's been trying to get his certification, so we are 1 year closer to that goal.
Okay, now this guy just got power to this lovely place 3 years ago. So there's like two light bulbs in his house. And this is the same place that had the wooden box. But they haul water up. They don't even have their plumbing up yet. So they haul water up. And if he wants to make a cell phone call, he has to climb a tree.
We got dumped on them unannounced because our intention was a rental car and a rental house. And instead, they put us in their beds and they slept on the floor. It's an awkward situation for me as the guest of honor, because to put somebody out of their bed is against every fiber in me. But when you're the one being honored, you have to suck it up. And we're talking this kind of bed, okay? It's poverty like most of you have never seen.
My problem was they actually turned all the lights off, and the lady was sleeping in our room, so I couldn't put my flashlight on, and it was pitch black in that place. There's no moon, no light. And all sorts of stuff could have come in any of those windows.
There's also no windows.
So little slat things. So you see all the daylight.
As the sun is going down, the pigs are right out, you know, at my feet. There's the window, there's the pigs. When I wake up in the morning, there's the turkeys.
Those were the pigs. No, these are the pigs, people. These are the pigs we've been giving to, so here's a bunch of them from his place. Mm-hmm. There's a funny one in there. He was feeding them so that they would all come. Obviously, they all came. And this little one just cracked me up. It was so tiny, it went in there with such fervor, that one, and he got stuck in the bowl.
Now, this is a huge, huge blessing to them, okay? This changes life for them, what we've done. So God bless you for that.
Thank you.
Moving right along.
Chocolate. This is chocolate, people. I didn't know. That's the chocolate. The next picture will show the little membrane thingy that holds the actual chocolate. And then when you break that open, the next picture will show chocolate. Yay!
Now, typically, they use every piece of everything for something. Like one of those pigs, nothing goes to waste. But on the chocolate, we discovered that his grandfather would make a liquor from the little thing that's the chocolate seed is inside, but they're Baptists, so they don't.
And the next picture is coffee. Yay, coffee.
Now, they grow all kinds of fruit. I mean, they pretty much produce their own food in order to live.
That's the coffee bean inside the shell. And that's him and his horse. He looks so great. And I mean, he just looks like he fits there perfectly. So comfortable with himself, right? Such a cutie.
These are some of the most genuine people you'll meet in the entire country. This is their home. It's a little shotgun thing from front to back. There's the three bedrooms to the right. You walk out the back door into a cooking area under its separate shed. And right behind that is the shower area. And I use the term loosely. And out beyond that is the outhouse, and this is the view they have from where they are. So it's an interesting blend of poverty and abundance from the natural circumstances of their farming.
There's the horse.
Now, for those of you who've never been in a cart like this, when that little tail comes up like this, hold your breath.
Lanny got blessed. And now that's the cart part. You see that other area? That's the cart part to that horse.
That little bitty thing right there.
And oh, yeah, that's part of that bridge. I don't know if you can see it clearly or not.
That collapsed concrete in the back is the bridge that used to go across that small creek.
So now we get into that Jeep. Boy, the guy says, hang on. And he's going down into the semi-dry riverbed. And we thought he was just going to, you know, three-pointer, right? Don't keep on, beep, 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 beep. No, hold on. That was the first of our departure.
Yeah. We're headed back down into Barcoa to find a rental car. And that's when we find out why you can't find a rental car. Why? Because the black market comes and rents all the cars long-term to get a cheap rate. Then they station somebody outside the rental areas who will come up and say, we can supply transportation for you at a much higher rate and a driver plus gas. It's part of life.
That was the next location we visited. That's the church that we had that service in.
Well, hang on, because to get there.
Oh, yeah. We have the other little wall.
So they said, we can supply a car, and up pulls this little thing the diplomats run around in. Air conditioned, five pasture to deal. Okay, we can do this. And it lasted all the way to the next town. And then that car left, and the next morning car arrived.
And I take one look at the car, I look at the driver, I said, this is not acceptable. This will not do. First of all, we have a ton of luggage because everywhere we went, we were leaving stuff. So first we have a ton of luggage, and there's four of us, and you would make five. So this is not acceptable. I'm calling the contact guy.
With a cracked windshield, no air conditioning, on a hot day. We hadn't gone long when we found out the battery's also dead. So the driver and I are pushing the car while Pedro's trying to pop the clutch to get it going. And that's how we spent the rest of the day. You ever heard of hump day? It was hump day the whole way.
So it was like a five-hour drive in that thing with no air conditioning. We were dying, dying, dying. Did I say dying? Dying. And after this five-hour ride, we pull up to this one pastor's home where he was going to take us to the rental home. If you could hold that picture, it's a gentleman that the pastor that pastors that church. So we pull up, and you know, any time we stop,
that's Pablo's place.
Pablo's, yeah.
We had a stop before then with a guy.
Yeah, but I only took the one picture there, so we'll go back to that one.
Well, you have a picture of that?
Yeah, but it's just the picture of them.
Well, we stopped to visit one of those that we had funded, only to discover there was a plague among the pigs that came through their entire area. He was only able to salvage two. And right now, the government won't let anybody raise pigs in that geographic area, so he's moving those two outside the area until the ban is lifted. So everything is hard, okay? We pop there, and this is part of the road obstructions you have to deal with. The sow eventually got up so we could pass. But there was another situation where the little piglet had been hit by a car, and there were several buzzards around it. As we approached, three of the four left, but the other one stood there, narrowest, to touch its prize.
Never have I seen a bird not fly.
Goats would run out. Cows would run across the road. I mean, it's perilous driving there. Dogs with death wishes.
So we pull up to this pastor's house that's going to take us to the rental home, and any time the car stopped, it was, please, let's stretch our legs, let's move around. I was just waking up from a very bad sleep in the front seat, and Lanny comes up to a window, and I looked at him, and I said, get in the car right now. He's like, okay, gets in the car, and finally, he gets in, I'm like, don't ever get out of a car in front of anybody's house because that is a commitment to go in, chat, and have coffee, and I cannot deal right now. I kid you not. You cannot pull up to pick anybody, and I'm thinking, oh, my God, I understand my parents so ever so much more every day.
Yes, dear.
I felt bad, but it was just like before they came out, he had to get back in their car because, you know, we insisted that we weren't getting off on a certain one. We were just picking somebody up along the way, and they brought the coffee out, which I wasn't going to complain about the coffee, but it's like, you have to stop and visit in the front door anyway.
So we get here to Pastor Pablo's house. He has an amazing testimony. He was a atheistic Christian hater. Please don't assume that poverty equates to ignorance. These are intelligent people. They're well-educated people. But the entire culture is bankrupt. This guy has one good eye remaining, having been healed from a flesh-eating disease that helped bring him to Christ. He's been pastoring for, 20-something years? 20 or 25 years now. Speaks five languages, Slavic languages, used to be an interpreter for the Russians and traveled all throughout that part of the world. Now he pastors a very successful church. He tried, obviously nothing we planned worked out. So we're a day late getting there. And he tried to get the word out to his people not to show up for their Wednesday night service because the Americans were a day late. Not all of them got the word, so they walked through the pouring rain to get to church, to find out no church, and they're soaked. We're not talking under the umbrellas. We're talking braving the elements. So Thursday night, the place is packed, and only half of the people are there. I don't know where they put them when they all come together. But we ministered there very successfully that night. He had, Pastor Pablo had Alexi and Kenya pray for the teenagers, and God just fell on the place. I just sat there grinning from ear to ear, proud of them, proud of the Lord, looking at these little children being touched by the power of God. It was just such an incredible evening. Then it's back to his house for coffee.
Nope, that's his. One of his little guys.
Yeah, he took us to a location where they've got the birthing stalls, they've got the growing stalls, they've got the turn them loose area so they can range. But this is the fella who makes the best ham in that part of the country.
I'm gonna hold it there.
And people will drive for miles to buy his ham because of the way he feeds them. They're looking to open a butcher shop and an eatery. It's just a matter of time and finances.
And he has the most, I mean, it's one of those things that you don't, if you don't know, you don't know. There are several breeds, obviously, that are available, and he insists on keeping a certain breed and keeping it pure and feeding it certain things so that he can get the certain outcome. Now, you had the ham that he made, but you said it was really good. And I mean, it is, I think he says he sells 3 pigs a day. Now, this other guy is another location. That was another.
Yeah, that was
earth.
Pastor Luis. We stopped.
Back one.
He was the one in the red shirt just prior to this. He and his pregnant wife and their one son. He is supported favorably by his father-in-law and mother-in-law and the grandmother of the father. So he's free in this 1,500-person church community where he grew up to pastor their church and reach the community. But once again, this... we invested in him as a pig farmer, and it is moving them up the economic food chain in their context. So he was just incredibly grateful and so glad to see us and give us a good report.
That's his family. His wife should have had the baby this week.
This week?
Yeah. Oh. She should have had her sometime, if not last couple days, within the next couple days.
So they gave us the best they had in the little shack they live in to the left there. But that's just the gracious hospitality of a people who have nothing. It would put so many of us to shame at the way they honor those who, I mean, let's face it, not many Westerners make it to that end of the island because it's just too hard to get there. So it was a big deal. Where do we go from there?
Nilda's. This
yes. Y'all remember the house I told you we bought?
Yes.
This is the house. Now, it was a huge upgrade for them who are about to be put out on the street, but it's still a shack, okay? But it's a spacious shack. They tore down the rotted wood around the bathroom and started recreating it with concrete blocks, but it's unfinished because it has the money for the concrete. It's just there's no concrete available. So your supplies available, no funds, funds and no supplies. It's just the way you live. The roof has got holes in it in several locations, a thatch roof. She's the one who's got the kidney problem. This is she. Yeah. Wonderful woman of God, just a delightful young lady. So we were able to supply the funds to purchase a horse and cart so that they can actually make it to church on Sunday because they now live at the fringe of the community and several people have left the congregation because they're just not close enough to take care of all their needs. You know, those kind of whiny ones. And then one of their spiritual daughters left because she is opposed to them being under Pedro's covering because Pedro sits on the Council of Evangelical Churches, which most Pentecostals think is of the devil. But I met one of the men in the Red Parliament. He's 81 years old. He started a Baptist denomination that would allow women to minister. And in the circumstance, he kind of jokes that when these pastors who think he is of the devil need something, they come to the devil to get it. And then they go back and preach against him. You just want to
see. There's the shower.
Some people. That's the shower?
Mm-hmm.
Still want to go?
That's one of the bedrooms. El Piggy. El Piggy's piggies.
You did that. Y'all did that.
Let me tell you, so hard. No, that guy was just being a. It's so hard to look at them and know where they're going. It's sad.
I got no problem with that at all.
So this is the picture of the pastor that was left with just the last two pigs. This is the temple that they're building, the church building.
If you were to put your hands on your hips like this, that's how close the house is to the church they're building. Everything is crowded in on top of itself.
Oh, that's a school. That one little building is a school. You see the kids outside playing? That they were on recess. That's in the boonies. And that was the night before we left. That's the Malecón in Havana, Old Havana. You'll see the fort.
We took Pedro and his wife to a nice restaurant, and you'd have thought Christmas had come. Like it's just not something they do. I don't know if she'd ever been in one.
I don't know.
But she was still talking about it when we left. Now, this is the road you'll see in most of the tourist stuff. What do you call it?
Malecón.
The Malecón. And the fort is in the background there. We went over there for the firing of the cannon. Any ever see the Shakespeare play Much Ado About Nothing? But they do it every night. Now, in this journey, it's important that you grasp how significant it is for someone to come and pay attention to them. Okay? These are a neglected people, and they have been living and barely living at times. One of the places we didn't get to visit this trip was where I told you from January's trip, the mother was apologetic that her son was weighing so much, but all they had to feed him was sugar water on bread. You live in such abundance. When they capture your heart, you're willing to sacrifice anything. All the inconvenience, all the difficulty, all the obstacles, just so you can stand there and pray and prophesy encouragement to them. And when we prayed and prophesied over Pablo, he couldn't even compose himself for such a long time because he has been on his own for all of his life, basically. And for us to stand there and speak the word of God, encouragement to him, just changed everything for him that day. Okay.
He was just tired. Someone that's just, we were praying for him. I told Lanny, I said, he's tired. Just, I don't know how to explain, tired to, I mean, a man that has been providing for his family. It's just, these people work so hard. I mean, in any given way, those that are in the countryside, they work hard. I mean, they work hard. And this woman at the first picture of the first location, I mean, after the kind of day that they have, she does laundry in the river. She has to go down the hill to the river to do laundry. These people work so hard, and yet, like I said, she shared one of their rooms with us. She got everything taken care of, and there she went on her knees on the concrete floor to pray. And it wasn't like, you know, now I lay me down to sleep. She prayed on that floor. and then got up into her bed. And they work hard. Even the people that work in the city, that work in the hotels, that work in those areas, they have 12-hour shifts, and they're on their feet, and they make nothing. Nothing.
We spoke with, we found a couple of treasures on this trip. One, it's a 41-year-old woman named Kiyomi, who's been in the hotel tourist stuff for 25 years and has pretty much said, whatever I can do to help you whenever you come, just let me know and I'll take care of it. And the other was this 81-year-old parliament member, head of this Baptist denomination, who has such a sweet spirit and an informed understanding about both the culture and how to interface with the government. So he's been part of the Congress. And several years ago, the senior leaders in the government were about ready to make almost any violation of the law capital punishment. And he was the one voice that stood up against it and said, you cannot kill indiscriminately the citizens of our nation because they are made in the image of God. And so the list got real, real short. This guy is so well respected, we found out the government is fixing to name a certain kind of award in his name for future recipients. Okay, so we sat with this gentleman, and I was not what he was expecting, which I find to be fairly typical. So by the time we were through with our hour-long visit and the tour, Pedro told me the next day, he said, he was really amazed with you and hopes that when you come back, he'll get a chance to hear you minister. And said, well, make sure he's invited to our conference in January because I don't know how much longer this brother has, but he's a man of significant influence in that situation. And looks, he's known Pedro since Pedro was 7 years old. So they have a lifelong relationship. And apparently this old guy is part of the reason we can get in. Now, when I was musing about this, I want to try to bring a little clarity to something. When the Lord says in Matthew chapter 25, just bear with me. When you do it unto the least of these, my brethren, you do it unto me. Don't think that the least of these, my brethren, means they're somehow quadriplegic or mentally ill or anything like that. The people we serve, the Christians in that nation, are considered the least of those in the nation. Okay? And the grace that attends us when we're there is just, it's, y'all are familiar with Encounter Sunday. It's that kind of presence that attends us, okay? So there's a, they recognize, they understand that heaven extends its borders to them, okay? I don't ask you to go. Some of you say you want to go. You need to understand it's not at all what you think it is. But not only do you have to be willing to endure hardship, this is not a tour. If you can't bring something to the table that's going to encourage those people, you're not on the short list. So get it clear in your head that when we go, we're always among the least, and we have the least, and we pay a great price to get to the least. So this is not a journey for just anybody. And it's funny to me, this is just, you know, when I look at pictures of me, it looks different than the mirror. Anybody else notice that? Those pictures say I'm a really old guy. And so they try to take care of me like a really old guy, you know. But Alexa said, get in the front seat. You're the old guy. I'm not getting in the front seat. That would be a violation of who I am as a man. I'm going to care for these girls and serve them and do whatever I can while I've got strength to do it. But you're not going to give the old guy the good seat. That ain't going to happen. That ain't going to happen. Okay? We give who we are, and God supplies what we need for those to whom he sends us. That's the story. That's the report. Y'all made that possible. I don't know how the Lord works his Excel spreadsheet, but everything you've contributed in prayer and resources, pig money, horse money, whatever it is you've done, I trust the Lord's accounting ledger. Y'all can't go, but he will send us. And I say thank you on their behalf. Thank you and thank you from the Lord, because the little bit you do matters. I mean, we took toothpaste. Oh, and we took flashlights. Our host and hostess show up at the airport at 2 o'clock for our 4-something arrival. We're sitting in the back waiting for our visas to show up. We got in, we said, where are our visas? Somebody disappeared. An hour later, outside, unknown to us, Pedro says, I still have the visas. Who's going to take them to them? So the guy says, you take them to him. They gave him a visitor pass, no ID, no nothing. He comes back in the back an hour and 15 minutes later, gives us our visas. So we go through immigration to get out to baggage. No baggage from our flight has been unloaded in all this time. So an hour or so later, the 3 or 4 flights that have piled in are waiting for luggage. We eventually get ours. We're headed out the nothing to declare, and we get turned back because they have run our luggage through some machine that shows them there's something in there they want to look at. Now, they don't publish the law ever. Congress will pass a law, but they won't tell the people until they decide to enforce it to get somebody. You can bring 3 flashlights in a person. Was it 3? 3 flashlights a person. I had like 12 or 15. Okay. So we have to open the bag, and we have to wait a long time to get to open the bag. When a guy makes a girl feel less feminine, she had a good conversation with him. So we finally get the bag opened after they have explored the law, and they confiscate, was it 10 of them? 10 of the flashlights. Okay. And everything is done by hand. Got it? It was like, what, 8 or 8:30 before we...
Oh, yeah. It was after 8 o'clock.
It was after 8 o'clock before we got out of the airport.
And I mean, they did inventory them, and the church officials needed to come in with a letter stating that it was for the use of the pastors for them to get them out. So we were able to get them where they needed to go. But I calculated out of the first 72 hours of our trip, we were in airports for 38. I gave up calculating.
Anybody want to go? You're a glutton for punishment, boy. Well, that's our report. And when we go back in January, it's a very different scenario. I will be addressing heads of denominations and their leaders in a conference, a 3-day conference that we are sponsoring on their behalf. So it's going to multiply the opportunity for us to engage their thinking about the gospel of the kingdom. Many of these are considered incredibly liberal leaders of liberal denominations, but hardship has a way of joining you together that no other thing can do. So I've only got 2 or 3 trips between now and then. All right, we've kept you long enough. Some of you are headed for a plugged-in class. Others of you are going out to fellowship in the hallway. Some of our first-time guests are invited to the hospitality room. We'll meet with you there for a few minutes. Would you please stand? I hope you were able to catch how deeply appreciative I am to you and to the Lord for all that's being done there. So little is doing so much, and we are in part of what God is doing in that place. So, Father, I stand here full of gratitude and thanks to you for a people with a heart for the nations, that you would allow us in this little place to touch Kenya and the Philippines and Cuba and South America and the Ukraine and parts of Scandinavia through our extended networks. We're so grateful, Lord, to be able to take the gospel of the kingdom and see you manifest your presence there. We're so honored to be a part of what you're doing. I bless these, Lord, and pray that you will multiply, return to them in ways they can recognize the hand of God for the generosity that they have given to those who are the least among us. I bless them today, and I praise you, Lord, for your spirit in these people, in this house, and through us to those who are in need. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hug somebody on the way out.